yo, yo, what's good, what's good? This is your boy B. Barnes. This is the Gentleman's Guide Podcast, where we seek to unpack manhood one day at a time. I'm your boy, I'm your host B. Barnes. We got my other brother, Gerard.
That's me.
We got Drew. Drew's back for another episode.
What's up, Seth?
We don't have enough mics. We got my Uncle Artis in the building. What's good?
Yes, sir.
We got my Uncle Darnell. What's up?
Hey.
It's good, man. So this is Fatherhood Part 2. If y'all watched the previous episodes in the last season with me and Gerard, we were kind of going into our fatherhood journey from the beginning with having kids, wife stuff, that sort of thing. It's a great conversation. This is Fatherhood Part 2. This is 2022. Fatherhood or Father's Day is coming up fairly soon in a week or so. So I thought it'd be fitting just to kind of expound on the fatherhood conversation. Before we get there, we got a couple hot takes. First hot take is...
What? What'd you call
hot
it?
Hot take. It's a hot take, man.
What you thought he said?
Just hot cakes.
Hot cakes.
First hot take is, does the toilet paper pull from the top or the bottom?
If you ask my wife, it's from the bottom, which I don't understand. So I actually end up going around to our bathrooms and actually don't even tell her. I just flip it and turn it. Get it right.
Wait, I'm confused. Are you saying
on the
that
top.
You
support from the top.
Leave your bathroom and go to a different bathroom?
No, he's saying she puts them up there from the...
Yeah, so like oftentimes she'll be the one that typically changes them out. So I'll go to the bathroom. Any bathroom, really. I'll go and I'll see, like, bro, like, well, I'm starting to pull and it's...
I flip that one,
and then I go to the rest of the bathroom.
Because I agree with you, but what's the stronger version to pull it from the bottom versus the top? Like, why do you like one versus the other?
Because... From my answer is from the top you can pull, and you can pull it off.
I get
like
it.
You roll it off.
So you agree?
It folds easier from the top.
Yes.
Okay.
From the other way,
it don't.
Yeah, because you can't just you gotta.
It just be hanging, and you gotta reach. It's a longer reach too.
You can flip back and roll up. It's just frustrating.
Yeah. I don't look when I put it on. I really don't.
Oh, you one of those.
Yeah, I really don't care, but I find myself coming in and seeing it the same way. I never look. I just put it on however it is.
Oh, you, man.
For one, I hate putting it on the roll. You know, I'm not a toilet paper. I don't like really.
Oh, you use butt wipes.
I like flushable wipes and things of that nature.
No, they ain't that good for your septic system, right?
Hey,
flushable.
Yeah, they say flushable, but they are not actually.
I haven't had an issue yet, but I just put the roll on and just,
And also, all right, so if you go to a hotel or a resort, they go from the top, and then they do the nice little fold.
Yeah, they
little,
do.
Little V-fold. Little
they
V.
do.
Little V.
And the only way you can do a V-fold and be seen is from the top.
That's
there you go.
Too.
All right, so we got Darnell. He's kind of in the middle. You don't really care that much. I'm talking about from a pulling standpoint. I ain't talking about loading the toilet in there, the toilet paper in there. I'm saying from a pulling perspective, or when you sit down and you and your
when I have to pull, I like to pull from under. I don't know. It's like I like to pull it from under when I do have.
I feel like he's never really thought about this. I feel like he's never really thought about.
No, but when I do, I don't pull. But when I do, I like to that. But I do like the concept of what he said. Because come to think of it, it always is like that. So it must be the right way.
So, Drew, where are you? Are you on the top or the bottom?
What?
That came out wrong. The wrong. Oh, but go ahead, bro.
Yeah, so I load my toilet paper from pulling from the top.
All right, so
it folds easier that
right,
way.
Right, I agree. Next hot take is, what is the best era of R&B music?
80s for sure, but 90s edge it out, but 80 it's some jewels in the 80s that just, it's almost like if some jewels wasn't there in the 80s, you wouldn't have like a super surge in the 90s, but 90s for sure. 90s hands down.
All right, so you got 90s. What we got? Who else we, what y'all think?
I got 90s. I graduated high school in 1993, so SWV did Drop Week, and it went number one for weeks.
That's prime time in development.
In development right there. So, you know, and I do say early 2000s.
Really?
Late 90s with 112.
Yeah.
Boys and Men. You can see like, about these guys like that. Definitely killed it.
Boys and Men was 90s.
90s. Well, yeah. 112 was late 90s. So.
Right.
But the reason that I
Drew
say
Hill, Jagged Edge, all them.
But the reason I say 80s is because you wouldn't, it can't be Drew Hill, can't be Boyz II Men if you don't have New Edition. Like,
facts.
Like,
so here's the can I speak to that? So,
yeah,
in the 80s. Yeah, I'm gonna speak to this particularly New Edition because honestly, and it might sound crazy, I was familiar with their music, but it wasn't until the story came out that I actually I guess when the movie came out, I was like, oh, New Edition. Like, uh-huh. I know that might sound crazy because when I think, for me, I'm going to say 90s just because I was born in 89 and I grew up. So I'm going to piggyback off of artists. I grew up basically listening to Brandy. Mm-hmm. Okay. I grew up listening to John B. I grew up listening to Mint Condition, which I know is like, to me, one of the best, to me, R&B groups ever. But Brian McKnight. Who else? I'm just trying to give you some of the artists that were very prominent in Summer Rain. Thomas. Yeah. You know, I'm just thinking like these are D'Angelo. Yeah, like these
that neo soul.
Erykah Badu.
That's what I was gonna bring.
Erykah Badu
kind of like that.
Erykah Badu. Like these were artists that I grew up listening to. And now I'm gonna say this, 80s. And y'all correct me if I'm wrong, because I'm at the expense of sounding ignorant. My dad, Anita Baker, was the go-to, like, I'm talking about cassette tapes. He had them. And that was,
Tony Braxton.
Yeah, Tony Braxton. But I know, in our house, Anita Baker.
Yeah, Anita Baker was on replay.
It changed my life.
Yeah.
You know, and that was the first R&B I actually listened to. Was Casanova.
Speak closer to the joint. Yeah.
Yeah. First R&B.
Just hold it.
Yeah. That's why.
First R&B that I listened to.
There you go.
Was Casanova. By LaVert. Mm-hmm. And it changed my life.
Casanova.
Yeah. And then you know you're Anita Baker, like I said, mm-hmm. Whitney Houston. You know, greatest love of all. I mean, Irene Cara.
Yeah. Yo, what's my girl name? I just seen her. I just seen the. Make it like it was. Give me her name. She's still singing now. Why can't I think of her name?
You talking about
what's her name?
We was just having a conversation.
I don't know why I can't think of her name right now. But 80s. Definitely 80s.
I think from the and until we think of that name that you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
But I really think that the 80s was like an experimental launching pad because you got to think you came off the disco of the 70s and everything moving. And then like it was a super shift, a change in what love was. I mean, you could think back like the 60s, you're talking about like the blues R&B like that, that kind of stuff. And you heard that then travel into like church as well or whichever.
Well, really travel.
It was kind
of really travel out of church. But
It was a recyclable.
One of those, but you start hearing experimental R&B, you're hearing different love stories. You're seeing different things happen in like an era. That New York, that whole East Coast area, you know, was just popping off with different kind of things. And you start hearing different love stories.
Yeah.
Then you start hearing that ushered in New Jack sound as well.
New Jack Swing,
like man, I'm going to tell you what, it's really tough. Because when you look at least from my perspective, you look at the 80s. I love the 80s. I can listen to an 80s playlist. R&B wise, and I could just like zone out. I can work all day. I can answer emails. Mm. I could do anything. It just puts me in a certain like what you call it? Is a catatonic state, like a very like even keel state.
Mm.
90s is different. I guess you could make a case for 90s, especially the late 90s and the early 2000s when you talk about the neo soul era.
That's
the era that I remember.
That was an awakening. That was a different. Something different. That's kind of like you got MJ, you got Kobe, and then LeBron came along and he kind of
broke them.
He took it to a different level. Yeah. I feel like neo soul, and you know, it's polarized. Like a lot of people don't like it, but
it's just so funny that like how we talk about everything, we always end up
back at sports.
Spot LeBron.
Well, you know, I try to use it as a make the most sense. Try to make.
No, I know what you. I know why you.
When you said neo soul, music soul child.
Right. Yep, he's like the embodiment of
and Jill Scott.
Erykah Badu, Jill Scott, D'Angelo, all of them. Yeah. Even Common and them like brought that whole element too.
Hip hop is a huge element. Even music, well, Soul Child mentioned that.
Neo soul is new soul. So it's like a combination of hip hop and then soul music and all that.
Yeah. We talk about
a little bit in there too. If you think about where music is now, the newest artists,
yeah,
they have reverted back to
that specific the 80s, style. 90s. Right. Oh yeah, oh yeah. It's being recycled.
You can hear it in my girl. I'm like, what's her name? Is it Sanoa?
Snow Allegra?
Snow Allegra, yes.
Yeah.
Is that what I'm saying? I don't know.
Snow Allegra.
Right.
Snow Allegra.
Yeah. I love her.
Yeah, I love her vibe, though, for sure.
I love it.
She's fire.
I haven't heard. You know, you think 90s.
Check out.
Mary J. Blige. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And she had her own. She wasn't neo soul. She was more hip hop. She was hip hop soul, right?
Yeah.
So it
yeah.
was a.
She's almost like a genre
of her
own. Like, yeah. Because nobody else. There is no other. I haven't now. What other female artists?
There were groups. So you had, you know,
but
you
there's
had
no
TLC.
Other female artist that's done. But
I'm saying there were groups, but a single.
But nobody's
single
done what she's done. Right. You know.
Yeah.
Mary's.
Yeah.
Queen of Hip Hop.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah. So I mean, I think it's tough. I feel like the '80s is probably like, to me, it's like the culmination of everything that happened before when it comes to. Even everything that happened in the world, it was like 80s, it was like a breath of fresh air.
But this is the thing,
coming out of the civil rights era, the 60s and 70s, and the 80s, like you said, it was experimental phase in sound and engineering.
Yeah, because, but I'm gonna say this as far as like us coming in, like because we were 89,
right? 90,
90, 90 91. So I'm gonna speak for us, like, so for us, 90s. We had specific memories associated with the 90s.
Oh, yeah.
You know, when I remember, you know, hearing Usher My Way and watching the live performance, because he did it live in concert, like that whole album. I've got the name of it. Like, and watching it musically from a place of as a musician wanting to be on stage. But then also, but when it comes to the 80s, it's like it takes me to, it's like I have no memories associated with the music from the 80s.
Well, yes, but no, hold on, you don't know you do.
Oh, yeah. There it is. But I like the way you said it. Even with having no direct memories associated with, hey, when I first heard that song or whatever, it listening to the 80s, even now, as a 33-year-old man, it's like a breath of fresh air. The way you, you know, expanded on that, I think
it's
that,
like that. Really, I don't even know how to really sum it up into one word, but
it's like I wish I was there when I hear it first.
And from the
it makes me want to be there even now. Like want to have it makes me want to be there or wish I could have been there.
Yeah,
when it was.
I think I tried to take myself out of the nostalgic aspect of it because I feel like that's more feelings and like emotions are involved. I try to take myself out of it because obviously the Anita Baker, you know how.
Don't forget that we got to make sure we mention Stevie Wonder. That's what I was going to say.
Yeah. Oh,
who was throughout Prince. The whole.
He was the whole time. From the 70s to the.
Before 80s.
That's crazy.
Because you're really talking about who's the. Right. Yeah. If you're really talking about who's the king of R&B. Okay.
You're talking Stevie Wonder.
It's nobody else who's been around
his song
as
still
long.
Being sung at weddings today. Ribbon in the Sky. Is
now who now no
PJ
yep
no what I would say who's the Vince Carter of R&B? Uncle Charlie
Cisco.
Oh. Uncle Charlie. He just keep going, bro. He keep going. He keep.
You know what?
He listened to an R&B station and not hit Charlie Wilson. Bro.
And I like that because I think when they did the 75 greatest players, was Vince Carter a part of that? I don't think he. When they did the NBA, the greatest. I don't remember seeing Vince Carter. But here's the crazy part.
He might be 100.
Perhaps. Maybe. But I will argue. I think when he was the guy, like the guy for Toronto Raptors, like the guy, like he was that franchise player. And it's almost like even though his career went so long, that it feels like that they forgot what he was during that time, because what you saw most of was the latter as opposed to
honestly, but that's not the sweet spot of Vince Carter's career was probably in New Jersey with Jason Kidd, Kenyon Martin.
Can I say one thing
to that, because this is the thing you just said, like, hey, everybody always kind of forgets Vince Carter on the end, and he had a long career,
very long career.
But however, and I hate to bring it back to LeBron. He has a long career, and they say, well, these are legacy awards for him. And it's like, Vince Carter had a long career. Where's the scoring? Where's the whatever? I hate to do that when we talk about Vince Carter singing, but I'm just saying that we keep shortchanging GOAT James. We can't.
No. But
I mean, not you, but I'm.
But I think that's a great example. He would say Uncle
funny.
Charlie.
Why
comparing
you
him to Vince
me,
Carter?
Bro?
Because
he's
there's
keep
a,
going, bro.
There's definitely a great deal of longevity.
He's
And I think he's been able to cross from hip hop, obviously funk,
yeah,
hip hop, R&B. Yeah. Like he is, and I'm gonna tell you, if you haven't read his book, you should read his book.
Cool. He had Charlie Wilson?
Yeah, his book. Yeah,
we got a book.
Okay. Yeah, he wrote a book. Yeah, wait, yeah, 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 yeah. Like I read it. I, believe it or not, it's, yeah, when we were on a cruise, yeah. It was way back. But I read it. It was good.
Yeah,
it was good.
All right, so I think for me, my consensus is nostalgia is going to be 90s because that's where we came from. Boy. We came from. But as far as just looking at it from an objective standpoint, I would choose the 80s. But that's just me.
Yeah, it's me to choose. Man. Whitney. I was going 89. Whitney. So I get a chance 80s. To. You know.
And she won't R. She wasn't. She popped as a pop artist. She wasn't.
Yeah, she,
R&B.
Yeah, pop, she wasn't. Know? She wasn't R&B. She technically wasn't R&B.
The tail end, shoop de doop, and all that. Then yeah, that was
she
R&B,
technically wasn't R&B. Then that, yeah, the end.
Yeah,
the end. She was more
yeah.
R&B.
Yeah,
but she's pop.
Dance with somebody.
Yeah,
yeah. That's disco.
That's
straight
that's up. Good luck,
yeah.
Right.
She was disco pop. Yeah.
You
yeah.
gave good luck. Good luck. That was R&B.
R&B. Yeah.
True.
Yeah, that was
Baby Tonight.
But holistically, I mean, you look. Michael Jackson had some R&B songs, but he was a pop artist.
Yeah, for sure.
He was, you know, he was a pop artist,
yeah. And he's super popped in the 80s. I mean, as a solo.
Oh
but,
yeah,
but all the.
But what I didn't know about Michael Jackson, I always thought, Off the Wall was his first album.
Oh,
and he had like two. He had two like two solo albums prior what? To Off the Wall.
I'm sorry.
Who?
Michael Jackson.
So explain. Say it again.
But I always thought that Off the Wall was his first solo album.
No,
but
it's.
Now he got a solo album from when he was like
he was younger
13 yeah. 12 yeah, yeah like young
didn't know that
yeah, yeah I didn't either
yeah I couldn't tell you the name of it because
yeah, me neither it's not that popular yeah. from what I understand but
I was aware that it existed
I sure. didn't know that yeah. today
what were you saying about Keith Sweat
well this is what I'm saying about Keith Sweat I watched the Versus with him and Bobby Brown and there was hit after hit if you really look
at oh he could write a 90s, song
there were so many hits everything yeah. he sung that night was his songs and they were hits
yeah.
Mm. And or he wrote for somebody
everything
that were
he
hit.
Drunkenly stumbled over.
Yeah, he just drunkenly stumbled over. But one thing you yeah. can't dispute.
Yeah,
my man had hit.
Oh, he's definitely a heavy hitter in his own right.
Couldn't sing that well.
I guess
in my
we're not
opinion.
Gonna say R. and Kelly. But we can't.
Talk we were talking about him earlier,
but yeah. you know.
Can't talk about him again.
I mean, when you say Keith, but when
if you
say,
talking about
but,
hits,
and the, that, reason, the only reason I said R. Kelly is because when you talk about you're talking about Keith Sweat, he had that whole New Jack Swing movement mm-hmm. as well. R. Kelly transitioned through that as well too.
True.
I mean, and I'm gonna say this, man. I'm just gonna say this about R. Kelly. Situation aside, do not agree. I mean, I'm it's very discouraging and just downright despicable. But when you think about all the songs that he wrote that he didn't even sing, not just wrote, but produced
yeah.
from beginning to end,
mm-hmm.
sing the background vocals and everything, and then just, all right, sing this like this yeah. with major artists.
Mm-hmm. I think he's gotten all the credit that he deserves. I think people have said
I'm just standing from a place of reflection. So I'm just
reflection. No, I agree. I'm saying from a music standpoint,
yeah.
I've never heard anybody say, you know what, R. Kelly is underrated. Mm-hmm. You know, he don't get
the credit people, that he deserves.
He's gotten his flowers.
Well, I believe
from
like
a music
I came on the other day on my playlist and I had a
I was like
no, I'm with you. I'm with
and,
you.
No, it hit at the right point in time too, because I was thinking about DJ about to graduate yeah. and all that stuff, and I believe yeah. I Can Fly came on. I was like, it's very much, and I was like, man, let me skip this.
No, I'm with you, and it's not so much like I'm going out of my way not to listen to him,
mm-hmm.
but it's like
it pops
I think
on a playlist.
It pops on, you know, but I can't like
you can't listen to it the same way.
I can't listen to it with
yeah,
the same spirit.
Fair.
Yeah, because as a kid, we grew up in the early 2000s.
So
R. Kelly was the
pop.
Guy.
Yeah, he was the guy. Yeah,
it was like R. Kelly and then Usher.
Usher,
you know what
yeah,
I'm saying?
Yeah.
But like he was the guy. So like, you know, if anybody got a strong connection to R. Kelly as far as you know from a growing up nostalgic perspective. It'd be kids born in the 90s. Early 90s.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I'm saying?
White parties were patent after his music.
Yeah.
I mean, listen, man.
You know.
Do songs on Toy Story. I'm just saying, what? Like.
Yeah.
Of course he would have. Sure.
Toy Story. All right, let's move on, man. Yeah. We do not, y'all, for the record, okay. We are not, we just, we do not support. Endorse.
No support.
Any of that, what went on, support, like we're not, we just, hey, this, yeah. hey, it's really sad. So
yeah, he's
where he's supposed to be.
And,
so,
and the segue, you know, to another artist from the 90s, Aaliyah was one of my favorites.
Hey,
Yeah. If not, when, I mean,
yeah.
And
hey, I'm gonna give you another one. I'm gonna give you another one because see, when I think of Aaliyah, I know obviously R. Kelly produced her early on, but I think about Timbaland.
Timbaland.
But see, but Nessa, not Timbaland as an artist, and Missy Elliott. I'm not even them as an artist because when I think of them, they are artists, but they were like they're she's a show woman, like she's just an artist, like. She can, to me, Missy Elliott can do anything.
Anything.
But I'm gonna get to this because when I think of Timbaland, the first I was talking to Brittany about this the other day, Justin Timberlake. Mm. And when we were talking about so if y'all haven't seen the movie, which you might not have seen it, Turning Red. So if you got kids, I don't know if your kids boys seen it. So yeah. Turning Red, it's definitely like 90s pop.
It's set, 98
degrees. Yeah, 98 degrees. Yeah. Backstreet Boys and NSYNC.
It's that 90s boy band era.
Yeah, boy band era. So we were talking about and it's a fake band, it's a fake group called 4Town.
They did it anyway, right though.
They did it. Yeah, right. They did it again. It's good. It's actually good. Yeah, it's really, really sweet.
Yeah, that's, it go hard. I was like, this. Yeah. I feel like I heard this song before. Like,
but I'm saying that to say this. We were talking about the boy bands, and I was like, hey,
on the block.
I said NSYNC was the best, and I said to me, and I wasn't a boy band fan. I hate to say, but
what?
No.
Yes, you were. It's okay.
Anyway, I'm a grown man. But
NSYNC was that.
When I saw what Justin Timberlake was able to,
bye bye.
the transition to R&B, and then how he did it to me with one of the greatest producers in my, I believe,
Timberland.
That partnership that they developed.
That's another conversation we can have.
Was just
what's the best
stupid.
Dynamic duo?
Yeah, we gonna say that.
I'm sorry to go there, but I just like we just talked. Like you gotta
producer,
put
artist.
Justin Timberlake in it.
Yeah. That's tough.
You know what I'm saying? Even though
Justin Timberlake, he did that to Janet.
He ain't do that to Janet.
There he go.
Demeter Joe.
But no, nah, man, look, this was a very, very exhilarating conversation. Yes. It could really go on for a very long time.
It can.
Y'all know. Go back and forth between sports and music and all that. But we're going to jump into the Fatherhood Part 2. First question I'm going to pose. Anybody can answer. You know what I'm saying? How do you navigate parenting multiple kids?
It's challenging. I have a 19-year-old, a 17-year-old, and a 10-year-old. And they're both very talented in their own. You know, you deal in a family like we are. Everybody's talented. Everybody has things that they can do.
Yep.
My son is a rap artist. My daughter's in college. She can sing and very talented all around.
She reads music, plays music.
She's
a flute, right?
And yeah, she's a flute player. Amazing.
Flautist.
There you go, man. Flautist.
And my little 10-year-old, he is a drummer, basketball player, just all around talented. He can sing.
Yeah.
And you know, I had to manage because like, When Ray was very young, he got a lot of attention. He went viral, got a lot of attention.
Yeah.
You have to not fall into putting emphasis on one over the other. And mm-hmm. something my dad said a long time ago, he said, I love my children differently, but I love them the same.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't understand it when I was young, but then, as you get older, you understand it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you love them differently because they require
different needs. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But you love them the same with the same amount of love, the same love. And mm-hmm. you have to, this is how you have to do it. So, you know, Raymond, I don't want to prolong, but Raymond, he went viral and everything. So I had to have some attention to him, but then I had to remember that Maya,
you got two kids.
I got two other kids. And especially with Maya, she's the older one. So I bought Maya a car
mm-hmm.
before, you know, and we had a little car conversation earlier.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah.
But,
My daddy ain't bought me no car. But my daddy bought him a car.
She's going to
we
college.
We got to say daddy.
Doing good,
there
honest
you go.
Student,
there you go.
Going to college, doing her thing. So I bought her a car. Raymond is in a situation where he doesn't need that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
He needs support.
Yeah.
Because he's got Uber.
He's got Uber. he's got a chauffeur.
I'm just messing.
He's got Tesla.
That right?
Drives around.
Yeah.
But he doesn't need that. But he needs support of the family. And so that's what we give him. That Maya needs special attentions as well. So I put emphasis on her gifts. And then Eli, I'm
and she's in college too. So like she has a lot of different needs, right?
A lot of different
needs. A lot of in college is always about basic needs.
Basic needs.
Hey,
yeah.
Money needs
food,
shelter,
cash out.
Yeah, exactly.
You know, for Maya. And you know,
I wish
Ray,
I had
Ray,
cash
Ray,
up in
Ray
school.
Doesn't, yeah. You know, oh yeah, Western Union. Blessing. Ray doesn't ask for anything.
Yeah.
I have to send Ray stuff to you know, to prompt him to say, hey, you need this, you need that, because he never asks for. He's very humble. Don't ever want anything. Christmas, whatever. And then Eli, it's time.
Mm-hmm.
Spending time mm-hmm. with him, molding, because now I have another chance
mm-hmm.
to mold and, mm-hmm. and give him. You know, I wanted to be a basketball star.
Mm-hmm.
My time has passed, but I can pass yeah. on to him.
And it's not like you're pushing him to do that.
He just
you've noticed me. This is something yeah. that he's passionate about.
He's passionate about,
and you're nurturing
yeah.
that.
He's
that
very
gift.
Passionate yeah. about it. He said, you know, I'll tell you a little story. We went. I took him to Williamsburg. We went. We spent some time in Williamsburg, and I was going to take him to Busch Gardens.
Mm-hmm.
And Busch Gardens tickets aren't cheap. Mm-hmm. And I woke up that morning. I said, hey, like, Eli, we're going to Busch Gardens. He said, Dad, I want to hoop. That was a court.
Yeah.
We hooped all day.
Hooping free.
And he was out there playing against grown men, 13-year-olds, one-on-ones, everything.
You gotta tell me twice.
And he had, and that's all, you know, that's all he talked about after that. So, I mean, that's priceless.
Yeah,
and them turkey legs at Busch Gardens be about $16. I feel you.
And, you know, there's a friend I have, and we talk about, you know, you talk about love languages. Main love language is quality time.
Yeah, I say that's the biggest thing is figuring out love
and
languages.
And that's, you know, yeah. And so with your kids, man, quality time with all of them.
Oh, yeah.
And that's how I manage, you know,
yeah,
multiple kids.
I love it.
Yeah.
I would say how I manage, if you don't mind. I just take each one, just kind of respect them as individuals. Mm-hmm. You know, there's competition between kids. There's
natural,
you know, and
yeah.
you know, we have two boys and girls, 17, 13, and 9. And, you know, they're all at different places. And I try to get them to just understand responsibilities
mm-hmm.
And just start holding them accountable at a younger age as much as possible. But as far as like managing them as people, just trying to explore what they're interested in. Mm-hmm. As a wise person said, if a person gravitates towards music, put instruments around them.
Yeah.
If they yes. gravitate towards mm-hmm. this, and you know, the same thing as the artist was saying. And we just try to, I'll tell you, it's really weird. The weird thing is, not just per se managing, but managing the amount, because it's more like, hey, I want to give all my children the everything that I didn't have.
For sure.
Mm-hmm. If they didn't have it, that means I can be there. I can be at every match. I can be at every recital, every anything. So I'll push to do that. And then I also push to give them every other thing that I couldn't have or yeah. that they want. And then, but it's trying to find a balance in that,
mm-hmm.
that can be difficult, because then I still sometimes have the same perspective as they should enjoy it like I would have enjoyed it if I was given this at my age, and that's not their situation.
Yeah.
So I, even though, you know, I'm like, well, I'm going to take them where I lived, and I take them back to DC, and I show them how we give back to places. And I'm like, they have to register like this, because this is how I feel when I do this. And they don't.
Because they didn't have,
you know,
they didn't grow up in the same context.
And I had to learn that it's fine. And just part of managing them as individuals is just respecting them, their space, their own individuality, and making sure that I assist them along their journey and not try to force them into like anything. So, you know, and I'll tell you, like I said earlier mm-hmm. today, when we were all together out there, it takes everybody. It's not just,
yeah.
it's not just, me, husband, her wife, these kids. It's like, no, it's uncle, aunts, cousins, everything. Thing. When I'm talking about managing them, I need to make sure I'm putting them around their cousins, putting mm-hmm. them around their uncles, yeah. putting them, because yes. y'all are pouring in something different
yep.
that even if I say the same exact thing in the yeah. same exact
they might
tone,
receive it differently.
Have the same
it
intent. Different.
The conversation we just had with Mike.
Yeah. It's going to register you know? Different, and they're going to be like, oh, Gerard sense. Said this, and this was the catalyst. And then as a parent, then I can't be upset that because we have to say, hey, somebody got through too. It could be the same thing. We good.
Mm-hmm. Applaud it.
We good.
My enemy necessary.
Somebody be like, how you do this for Gerard? They ain't do this for me. No.
It's about the business.
Okay.
No, then as a parent, hey, we vibing here.
Yeah, yeah.
Because that same influence could say something different. And yeah. then you know, so I just think it takes all, and managing is individuality, respecting it, and helping.
Can I jump in? Oh, so you guys, you talked about the uniqueness of your children. And their specific gifts. You talked about uniqueness of your children, and like you know your children, and you know what they need and when they need right. what they need. And y'all, in your own way, pretty much said the same thing. And the way I always heard, I'm going to say granddaddy said, because that's where you got it from. I heard him say it like this: I love all my children the same, but different. Or however, you know what I'm saying? So that's what I think about, exactly what you said with our kids. But then kind of before I get into it, what Darnell was saying and what you also were saying is like noticing their gifts. And there is a scripture that talks about, it says, train up a child in the way that they should go, and when they get old, they will not depart. And I always interpreted that and kind of at face value, like, hey, you know, teach them right, teach them right how to do right from wrong. Yeah. You did say there, you know, and they'll, you know, teach them about the Lord, teach them about scripture,
the
board, right?
Though. But the way they should go.
But really, what it also, when you really get into the real context and the backdrop of the scripture, it's really talking about the natural inclinations or gifts that the child yeah. instinctively has that God has placed in them. As a parent, you have to recognize that. Yeah. And mm-hmm. when you recognize that, so yeah. it's not about you. I have my basketball time and I want Eli to be a basketball star or to be good at it. And it's like, nah, I recognize he has a specific and very intentional interest. He will choose basketball over going to Busch Gardens.
Right. In-
so because it, not this is this be great. Let's just thank God that it's cheaper. Like you said, as Darnell pointed yeah. out, yeah. hey, because them turkey legs, them tickets, you said tickets and turkey legs, yeah. you know, but it's like at the end of the day, he'll rather do that. And so that's so if it train him up in the way he should go. So I'm going to create set an atmosphere around him that will cultivate the natural gift that he has to grow. That was given to me. You are part of that. It's good, ain't it? Even with me, I think about my gifting. As I told somebody yesterday, I'm tapping back in, you know, drumming. Drumming particularly. I'm starting there,
yeah,
and really tapping back in. And the crazy thing is, you never lose it. You just got to dust it off. But like, just to see how, thank God, is just moving that and escalating that gift and bringing it back to life. But I think about myself. You were a part of surrounding me with musicians who were, I thought, far above me. And at that time when I was young, really, I was probably at their level, if not better.
Yes.
But the point was, you surrounded me. You were a part of making sure that I was trained up in the way that I should go. This was an area that Gerard expressed interest and we're going to create. And so as my grandfather said, oh, everybody musically talented. Keep that. Get a piece. Like my studio will look like this in its own way. In about, you know, a year or so.
Shout out to Darnell and Brittany, man.
Yeah, shout out. You know what I'm saying? Like,
provided the studio, dope beautiful space.
Amazing yeah, space. Like, a space to create. A space, like, and it's not, like, so when Benjamin has a something running through his mind, he can come in here and put it down.
Yeah.
How disappointing would it be to have all that greatness in your
you ain't got
spirit,
no way to get it out.
In your soul, get it out. And you have nowhere to you don't. So essentially, what y'all have done is you're training up your children. Haley can just, I don't know, she has an ability just to shoot. She's always been a good scorer.
It's like she's doing math in her head.
Yeah, it's like it's really crazy. Like I watched her as a little girl running up down that court, and all these other kids just they were sorry. And Haley would just run that court and like score like it wasn't even no. Yeah. I'm like, what? But so now you've seen the gift, you've seen the ability, mm-hmm. and now you have her in a space where she can it can be cultivated, gift. It can yeah. be groomed. So you're training up your child in the way that she should go. And so whether she goes on to be in the WNBA or whether she just learns life lessons that will take her to the next level, like yeah. either way, she's been trained, she's been cultivated. You know, so. When I think about my kids, man, that's my goal. Like knowing what each one needs, paying attention to your children. Eden is a fireball. She mm-hmm. is a singer, and I believe God has anointed her voice to tap into to bring heaven to earth. I promise you, and I could be wrong, but that's what I when she like she'll cry, and it's piercing. And then I'm listening, and she'll be singing in Vivo. You know, I don't know if y'all know what Vivo. Go to Netflix, Vivo.
Yeah.
Vivo.
In the video, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? She'll be like literally singing it word for word, melody.
The first sign
right
is,
on the
is
melody.
Mimicking.
Yeah, literally. Yeah. Hampton. I mean, all of our the gifts and the singing. Charlie got it. Hampton got it. All of them gonna have that. But Eden is on another level. And what I see, Hampton, Diplomat, delegator, leader. Just it's just she has all the gifting. Like she's her daddy and her mama all wrapped in one. Okay, Charlie, the girl can jump on the bar, her gym bar, pull herself up to pull. I'm talking about like not with no help. Mm. Like core is just naturally strong. Like pull herself up backwards, be parallel. Mm. So we have a bar. But this is the other thing. When Hampton tries to do what Charlie does because we're celebrating Charlie, and I'm like, Hampton, it's okay. Like that's what Charlie's good at. That you can do, Jim. But you're good at other things too. We have to affirm her and say, hey, you're good at this, you're good at that, because we know that she strives for positive affirmation. And so, if she sees somebody else getting it, sometimes she wants it. Mm. So we have to remind her of the things she's good at, and it's okay. Yeah, if you want to do gym and you want to do good on the bar, that's cool. But Charlie naturally has that. Yeah. And so we're going to be putting her in gym. We're putting Hampton in dance. We're going to make sure she has what she needs. But so it's just knowing your children, knowing how to train them up. And that takes, as a father, I think, just paying attention.
Navigating the watching different personalities.
Yeah.
Because you said, and I just want to jump in real quick, because you said you have to train them up. That means if it's a responsibility to train them up, then you have the responsibility as a trainer.
Yeah.
And you have to have the attributes as a trainer as to recognize and then implement whatever it takes to actually.
If I can't do it, you better make the money to do
and
it.
Then remain consistent. You gotta
make correct. The money to pay somebody to do it.
Yeah,
consistency is a gift. You have to order their gift.
Yeah.
You know, you see it sprouting. You see it. You gotta. It needs that cultivating. Yep. It needs a, you know.
And also, too, and I'm going to say this, too, because it goes to this piece. Later in life, and I mean, Darnell, I know y'all can speak to, but it goes to exposure. So it's not just like whatever the specific talent is, but we're talking about exposure, whether it be to like when y'all took, I think then y'all took Haley. Yeah, y'all went to the college tour.
Yeah.
I had been to college, but never went to like an official college day.
Yeah. Right.
Now I went to the gospel choir and I was exposed in the musical world, but like to look at like giving your kids those experiences,
from a student standpoint,
again, help to shape them in a way that, again, training up your child. So that's what I think about when I heard what you said, artist, and what you said, Darnell, and what I was thinking in my mind and my heart. So that's what I say. So
yeah, I tend to agree with everything y'all said. I think for me, when I hear that question, obviously cultivating their gifts and creating the space for them and creating the environment, all that goes hand in hand with set your kid up for success, which kind of leads to the next question is, what are the best ways, other than what we all just mentioned, what are the best ways to set your kids and your family up for success? And you can take it anywhere you really want to go. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, can I?
I'm going to lean on that. Please talk about, I want you to.
I would always say, I tell the kids, just don't be trash human beings. Like, let's start with integrity. Mm-hmm. You know, let's start with the basics. Like when you go to basic training, they break you down to build you up with the core values of whatever military part. For me, it was Army. But I like to start at accountability level, especially at the age of my children.
What age is that?
17. We got 17, 13, and 9.
Okay.
But just even when they're younger, it's just like, hey, the core, the sharing, the caring, be more considerate about others. But even that, and I just want to kind of focus on DJ for just a second. I'll say,
please,
shout out to DJ, man.
DJ just graduated today. He's 17.
Yes, sir.
17. He saved up money, has a job, has ambition. He's doing great things.
But hold on. I just want to make sure you touch on, like, how did he get to, like, what did you instill in him to even get him to that point, and even, you know what I'm saying, like, so from credit to, so I know you starting with your foundation, I know you're talking about like just from how you build them up, but like please make sure you get into that.
I'll just say, you know, conventionally sometimes we don't have knowledge or access to certain things, and we don't know about credit. No one kind of told me about it back in the day. So the little nuggets and knowledge that I did get about it, of course, everything starts with consistency and integrity and accountability. If we talk about credit, you're talking about
anything,
buying something, because you're talking about, you're talking about worthiness of,
also acknowledging that you don't know everything.
Yes. Mm. Yes.
That's the, I feel like that's a very big piece.
And it's no fault in learning by error. Right. You can bump your head. Yeah. It's okay. But then it's how you bounce back
from it.
Back yeah. from
Cause it. Think about how your kid interprets that when they see, okay, my dad is not Superman. He doesn't know everything, but we're going to learn this together. Or I'm going to put him around the right people. And we're going to figure this thing out collectively. You know right. what I'm saying?
And that's introducing him. I'll try not to get too much into the credit part, but I will say, once again, those are the cores. Mm-hmm. But then, like I said, I got him a credit card. And I tagged him along with I got a credit card. I had zero on it. I had a whatever limit on it. Mm-hmm. And I put him as an authorized user on mm-hmm. it, which will assist in building him credit. He got a job about a year ago at McDonald's. And how he got this job, he didn't even really interview. He went in there. The manager knew me from when I was younger and actually had a working experience with me from there.
That's
right? And she That's said, wild. That's your dad. He said, you're good. You got the job. I'm starting you at X amount and you get paid every week.
So not only are we talking about credit in the mm-hmm. in the sense
financial
sense. From the financial point of view, we're talking about credit in a good name.
I'm about to say, yeah,
like name. You know what I'm saying? With credibility.
For sure.
You know, and I'm not trying to be funny, but no, I mean
there's power in it.
Like there is. Like granddaddy would say, your name, bro, that's all you got.
Everything. Name will precede you.
You know, yeah.
It's so funny that's right great. Now. I told Maya, I said when she put in that food line in Lewisburg, and I told her, I said, you need a name drop. You drop my name. Drop Gerard.
Mm-hmm,
I know all those people in there. Gerard yep. worked there, and he was a great, hard worker.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she did get her a job at Aldi. She's really yeah. good at getting jobs because she interviews well. You get that from her daddy. But she and I always taught them when they were kids. I said, you call. You initiate.
Yeah.
When she put a job interview in, you don't wait back and forth for them to call.
Advocating for yourself.
Yes, sorry. You have to be proactive.
Right. Yep, proactive.
And then when they see that, they see that proactivity. Mm-hmm. Then they're like, well, when they're working, they see something on the floor that need to be cleaned up. They're gonna get that. Yeah. They're gonna be a good worker.
Yeah.
And getting back to the credit part too. Yeah, I actually got my daughter Maya a membership at Coastal Federal Credit Union.
Okay.
And because credit unions are very powerful in this mm-hmm. world. And so if anywhere, you know, as long as you don't, if you have zero credit, you got credit with your credit union
mm-hmm.
right. because, you know, they're going to give you your first shot.
The longevity of your account, mm-hmm. the way yes. that you move money through there.
And I said, make sure you get direct deposit wherever you go. Make sure your money go. They can see your money going in there.
Mm-hmm.
They can see it. They can see what, you know, what you're doing, the money that's going out, what's going in. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and we could get into a banking conversation because that's a, I'm telling you,
go ahead. I mean,
once you figure it out, it's like, oh, I get it. They want to see, do I know how to, just like we're talking about managing kids, they want to know how you're moving your money.
Yeah.
How do you work with debt that you have? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Oh, he saw that he had a high debt rate of 18% and he moved it over here and took a smaller, and then he had 8%. Oh, a bank sees that. They say, mm-hmm. oh, he's smart with money and how he's moving mm-hmm. it. And then when I go ask, they're going to say, oh, he's a lower risk. So let's give him this because he did this with this.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get in a position where, hey, the bank calling you like, hey, Mr. Toms, look, this and this and this and this. I'm telling you it's a work for you. Oh, that's great. Let me call USAA and see what they say. Oh, yeah, but Navy Federal said this. Now you got banks competing for you. Yeah. You end up with 0% rate, and you like
this. Look,
it literally happens.
This goes back to a point that I want to say is, and I mentioned it really quickly, advocating for oneself, right? And I'm speaking from experience because as a kid, I was very soft spoken. I didn't really speak up. So when I needed help, that was we all have natural character flaws or deficiencies, things that we're just not as good in. Somebody like him. If something was wrong, he's gonna let somebody know. That's just, it's inherently inside of, that's just who he is, right? For me as a kid, and Drew, you could probably speak to this too.
Same way.
When things are maybe off or something ain't right, it's not my natural, desire.
Your first instinct.
My first instinct is to speak up for yourself.
Yeah.
And that's something I really you have to practice and you have to learn over time. And not just that, I'm speaking from my experience, but anything that your kid may be quote unquote deficient in or may not be as good in, but help them focus on that.
But you know what? That's why I went up to McDonald's with him when he was doing the job, because I was like, this is his first time. I want to walk in there with him and just to make sure his paperwork was right.
Mm.
I will also say he got the job that day. And when he started, not only, you know, we took a picture outside. I walked in that McDonald's with him. I talked to every manager. I said, He's loved. He has. He comes from a loving place. I said this in the store. They were just, you know, McDonald's. Uh-huh. They look at. I said he's loved. He comes from a loving place.
What?
You won't. Like, huh? They were. And I said you won't have any issues with him. He's not going to miss work.
That's fire, man.
I said, I'm going to tell you this. I gave my son a big hug. I said, you be safe in this environment. And if you have any issues, don't be afraid to walk away from it, but try your best.
Yeah.
And man, then I walked out.
We need a bomb
that's,
button.
That's, yes. And everybody was looking. I'm not ashamed of the hug and love.
I'm going to speak to that. I'm going to speak to that because this is actually probably going to be something that this upcoming Sunday, Father's Day Sunday, I've been asked to speak. You know, I haven't preached since September of
2019. Your time passed.
The only preaching I've done is just officiating weddings. So it's quite a little scary, you know, a little scary just kind of thinking about it. But with that said, thinking about what you just said, hey, he's loved, and then the confused looks on people's faces to see a man say to his man child, or really any child, because if it's Haley, when Haley goes, I know you're going to do the same thing.
Same thing.
Like, you're not going to, you know, you're not going to, you know, slight her, but ain't even, you're going to make sure she gets the same speech. They get the same speech about her. Hey, she's loved, or he's loved. You're not going to have a problem out of him. He's going to come to work. He's going to do right, whatever the case may be. And then you told your son, you just said, hey, just do your best. You know, and do your best. Like, there's no pressure. You ain't got to pay no bills. You ain't got to. This is for you to gain valuable experience about life. Here's the key. And so I was reading the book by J.W. Walker, but or it was The Painful Side of Leadership by Jeff Eorg. But I was reading one of those books. And in there, one of those authors use the example. They talk about the grace of God. And they talk about the building of the Golden Gate Bridge. And they talk about how when the Golden Gate Bridge was being built, like, people were just, they were like, one, the productivity was slow. And not only was it slower than what they had projected, if I'm saying this right, but it was kind of slow, but also, like, they were, like, people were falling and dying while working on the job. And so they said, what they did is they just got this big old net, and they put a big old net underneath the you know, underneath it while wherever they were working. And what they noticed as a consequence, and the net was there so nobody would die, like, so if they fell, they wouldn't die. But what they noticed is that the productivity of the building of the bridge increased, because the if, because here's the mindset: if I can just work,
you're not worried.
I can just do it, and I ain't gotta worry. I can work, and I ain't gotta worry. I'm not working under the fear. With this underlying notion of fear that if I do this wrong, if I do that wrong, it could mean the death of me. But I can work, and my productivity is going to increase, because, like, I'm not working on the field. I'm just grinding, doing what I got to do, because, hey, if I fall, there's a net there. There's grace there.
Fall down.
Should have had that one.
Was that an R&B? Was that a nice R&B song? But my point is, so when you think about it, so now your son goes in, and as a father, when you think about who we are as fathers, we are the physical manifestation as fathers, I'm going to say, of what God was, what Christ was in the earth. And so with our families, you know, leaders. And so now here you go. You provided grace for your son. His productivity has shot through the roof, because just do your best. Yeah. You're not here. You ain't gotta lead nobody. You ain't gotta, you know, you don't have to do nothing that you should not have to do beyond your years. All you gotta do is go ahead and just get this little work. You don't even need the job. Like, you don't have to. Now, you know, you don't have to work. Like, you don't need it.
It's a luxury to have that kind of grace.
You see, it is a luxury to have that kind of grace. But when you make that connection, hey, man, it's Father's Day. When you make, come on in. Yeah.
I'm right here.
All
right,
close the door. All right, close the door, buddy, okay?
All right. That's your son.
That's what he did, man. I heard you laughing, baby. Wesley, hey, no more. Close the door. Close the door.
He had three of them, the sugary drinks.
Yeah.
Actually, he had.
And y'all probably didn't water them down like we did. No. Anyway, so think about that, man. Like, how the productivity just if I don't put two patties on it rather than one.
But
I y'all get the point, man.
I think about it like you made that speech to the employee or to his, I guess,
employee.
Co-workers, right? But at the same time, DJ was present when you was making that speech, so he knows the expectation that you have for him. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So it's like, all right, I don't wanna jack up my dad's name, or I don't wanna make him look stupid because he making this speech. So I'm gonna do everything I gotta do. Not to say that he wouldn't, you know what I'm saying? But that's just like another layer, you know what I'm saying, of it.
I want to tell you something too. You were talking about the net, and you know, my son Eli, he trains in basketball, and I know you know the at Bunn High School when you played basketball. And you messed up. What was your penalty? True. You had to run.
Yeah, running suicide.
Running suicides. Well, my son's trainer, he has a different style of training and coaching. Uh-huh. He doesn't want to threaten. You know, he uses running as building up, as a way to build your stamina, and it's more of a means to an end. And he's not saying, "Oh, you don't do this right. You got to run." And he gets more productivity out of his kids doing it that way. Just like a lot of corporations, they're not trying to penalize you for when you mess up, but rewarding you for when you do good. Mm-hmm. And that's that net. You're not afraid of falling. So then you get more productivity out of your... Because I'm taking sociology right now, and I'm learning how you deal with people. Mm-hmm. And that's how you get more productivity out of it. I got a guy that cleans cars. He's not that good at cleaning cars. But when I praise him for what he does... He gets more motivated, and now he's cleaning cars better than he was.
They tell you 4-1, man. Look. They say you, man, you give 4-1, so 4-1 ratio when it comes to giving constructive criticism or giving some time. So you know, you praise people. They, man, they, you know, hey, you're doing this. You know, I noticed that this, blah, 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 blah.
Right.
And however, hey, you know what I'm saying? Can you focus more on, or can you take some time to focus on this or this, you know, whatever the case may be. So that's something that I use as a manager.
Yes.
I always try to lead with that.
And that's what I had to learn as being a manager. Yeah. You know, you had to learn how to get the most out of your people.
Yeah.
And it works.
Yeah, you'll always go further with positive versus negative feedback or constructive criticism, because I remember something that Gab mentioned. Gab, she's totally credentialed, you know, psychology major, mental health counselor. She studied all this stuff. She was like, it was a study. I can't remember the actual details, but the study is no's versus yeses. So when somebody's blindfolded and they're looking for a specific item, you get more productivity, or it's easier for them to find the objective when you say, okay, yes, 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 versus no, 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 if that makes any sense.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
I hear what you're saying.
it's a way that you have to say it. When, you know,
I'm listening.
It's positive versus negative. That's all I'm saying.
You know, so objective is sometimes to
get somebody from A to B. And with
I
was gonna say sometimes, and I do like a lot of job interviews for a lot of people sometimes, and sometimes one of the questions is how do you deliver bad news, or how do you deliver unfavorable news, and that's a very important. I had a job where I had to fire people. One of my jobs, the majority of it, that wasn't my main job, but 85% of my job was to fire people. That's and crazy. These people were making six figures plus.
Wow.
Plus, and you have to, people have moved from DC to come here for specific jobs, really high ranking jobs. And when you tell them this, how they register it, you know, I had one lady that told me, I'm telling her, you just lost your job. You made $210,000. Wow. I'm not walking giving you a letter. I'm telling you and giving you a letter and escorting you out with security. I set up the security. I deactivate all your stuff. All of the above, making 200, whatever. I'm telling her this. She said, I feel sorry for you. She told me that she feels sorry for me. She was like, you have to do this every day. And her livelihood changed. When you lose that kind of income, I mean, it's going to affect that. Yeah. And in that moment, she was, so how you say your no's and how you give your, that doesn't mean it has to be yes, yes, yes. Like in that specific, but it's how you preface that yes as well. Hey, yeah, you can do that, but I also need you to do this, 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 this. or hold someone accountable to get to that next level. But yeah. No's are hard. Break up with somebody in a not nice way. You can get your tires slashed, everything.
I ain't lived that in this day and time.
Y'all ain't lived that life? I don't plan on it. Hey, y'all haven't had that life?
Nah, I ain't no slashing tires.
Ain't never had no?
Ain't
no bricks?
Nah, no bricks.
I don't even mess with no real.
Nah, I ain't got none of them. No brick, no spit in your face.
I don't.
Now, if I do something stupid with what I got now, who I got now, I probably get some tires slashed.
You getting a brick to the
and some brick to the windshield, brick to the face.
Mike is about to say punch to the face.
So I'm gonna just, you know, I'm gonna just do right, keep on doing right.
That's funny, man. Last question, man. This shouldn't really take long, but does spanking your kid change behavior?
No. No, it depends. So I'm gonna say this.
Yeah,
it depends on the kid. It
depends on the heart that it was done with.
Are you beating your kid?
Are you actually?
But no, I'm gonna say the reason I'm gonna say it really depends on the kid. Again, contextualizing, like, bro, I can grab the back of Eden's Brittany or I could grab the back of Eden's arm and pinch it.
You ain't gotta pinch
Eden,
me, bro.
Oh yeah, I had to kind of show you.
You trying to pinch me?
But we can, you know how, you know, mama used to be like she would grab, twisty, turn
twisty,
that joint,
twisty,
break this.
But I grabbed her arm and she said, and the tighter I got,
ooh, that's funny, daddy.
It was just funny to her. Uh-huh. You spank her. No, she'll say no.
That's Wesley.
Like it don't work for her. Like, and it, honestly, for her, it teaches her to go hit.
Yep.
And I thought I would never, ever, ever say that because we got whoopings. And I didn't go hit nobody because I got a whooping. You know, and I actually got into a lot of trouble when I was in school. I really did. It's crazy. But I don't think it was because of whoopings, though. It was because of other stuff. It was not because of getting whoopings, though. But I can honestly say that.
That's why I say yes, it does change. I'm not talking about in the literal sense to get someone to do something, but it's a level of trauma that come. I think we can all probably, if you got whoopings,
you know that whooping that you got changed.
When I say change behavior, I'm talking about into a trauma set of like that may spark someone to everybody responds.
I wasn't even thinking of it like that. I was thinking of the question from altering the behavior from an undesirable behavior to a desired behavior. And what you just explained, that's a wider and I think more appropriate a way of looking at it in this day and time, because what happens is you make your children scared of you, scared to come to you, scared to talk to you, scared to ask you questions, scared that they're going, like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I do not want to be the father. And I'll say this, like, giving, and I'm gonna say this. And I think we've talked a lot about, like, how we, the interaction between our mother and our father, and how sometimes the very things that you despise,
you can end up
if shaken up just right. Mm-hmm. If you take a soda bottle with soda in it and it ain't flat and you shake it up and you open it, it's going, you know what I'm saying? So when you have some things that are unresolved and things that are not good, because soda ain't good for you, right?
Yeah.
But you know, but so the idea is to be like a water bottle. You shake it up and it only comes out when you pour it out. Yeah. It's more or less controlled as opposed to just bursting and going crazy. But things that have not been touched on, or you think like, I'm never gonna do that. I have at times found myself, like, at one time I remember snapping on Hampton, and she kind of like, and I was like, yo, like, and I had never done it, but I was like, I heard my daddy.
Listen,
now I love my father. Don't get me twisted. I love my father, and you know what I'm saying? But at that time I literally sounded like him, and I saw her response. Mm. And it literally grieved my heart. And I was like, yo, I never want to be. And she was getting on my nerves. She knew she was getting on my nerves. Like, she, you know what I'm saying? But she's a kid. Like, that's what they do. When I saw the response, I was like, yo, I ain't need to go to therapy, nothing like that. It was just a moment. And I was like, yo, not doing that. I'm going to be more conscious, be more mindful, because I dare not be the father that my kid can't come to.
Mm. Yeah. Especially,
but I wanna, especially, and, you know, or feel they can be daughters. Supported and comfortable. Say,
especially girls.
All I got is girls. Yeah.
I was raised getting whoopings, and I'm gonna tell you, the moment I stopped spanking my kids, I put myself in their situation. All right, so I'm 6'1". I was 275 pounds at the time. And I wanted to see, I looked at how I would feel if I was a little bitty boy or a little bitty girl. Now I'm looking up at this man yelling at me and with a belt. And how I would feel. Mm-hmm. I put myself in that situation and I stopped. And my wife at the time, she would want me to whoop them.
Whoop them, bitch. Whoop them, bitch.
Yes.
Whoop them, bitch.
She would want me to whoop them. But
don't kill them. Don't kill them.
I said whoop them. Don't kill them, boy.
But you know, but the thing is, I put myself in that situation and I stopped. Mm-hmm. And now there's so many things these kids have. All you gotta do is take stuff away.
Yeah.
Hey, you turn that Wi-Fi off.
You turn the Wi-Fi off.
Yeah, lose their mind.
Turn the Wi-Fi off.
Oh my God.
Give them a spin.
For one, all my kids about bigger than me. I ain't hitting. I don't think I've ever been into it more or less yelling either. Growing up, I'll tell you, I was beat with the hanger, whatever you name it, whatever was close,
drop call.
I think
you know to the point where it's,
shoe,
you know,
fist, shoes,
and
grease bottle.
I would have like a welt in it, basically anything.
Whips? Oh yeah, bro.
I mean, but
the switch was the big one,
and then getting the tub, like then getting the tub, like. I don't know. I just think
go to school. I teachers think, ask you, "Are you okay?"
But okay? I also
you better put that say in the
same context of like cussing at children and like I know I was in Washington D.C. We pulled back up there. I'm taking the kids up there, and my kids was like these kids was just running. They was in Southeast Washington D.C. They just running out in the parking lot cussing at each
doing
other.
What
these
they
little kids,
do. Yeah,
and hey. These our kids, my kids was like,
let's go.
They were like, they looked at me like, "Daddy, you not gonna do nothing about these kids?" And I had to let them know. Like, here's the thing: if a kid comes to my house, I'm not gonna overly discipline them because when you leave my house, you have to go to the consistent discipline that you have,
or undisciplined,
whatever the case. And I always say that. I said I'm not about to yell at somebody else's kids, spank them, or whatever have you. Now I'm gonna get them out of harm's way, and I'm gonna talk to a parent about them. But I ain't about to go up and
I'm gonna get them out of my house and not let them come back.
But
you have control over that.
You know, but to understand, like, hey, you know, but at my kids at that point in time, they're like, you wouldn't let us do this, so why you let them kids do this? And not just because they're not my kids, but I'm not gonna step in a situation where I'm not consistently providing that. So all that yelling and cussing and stuff like that at kids, I don't
see, you don't listen. That's why you gotta hold it now.
Man, we about done.
Help me. Bust me.
Help. That's the real deal. Help
you
me.
Know, and that takes me back to your time the era you're in too. The era we're in right now is a whole different it's different raising a child right now.
Yeah, dog.
Yeah, I think for me, I'm always of the mindset of, and you kind of touched on it, all y'all touched on it, but just because things were a certain way when you grew up,
you don't have
don't
to.
Mean you gotta put your kids through that ish.
Thank you.
I agree.
I remember it was one of my jobs, and it was like a certain way that they did something at that job, and it was very like ineffective. It was
counterproductive.
Why do we do this? Well, that's what we always done.
Yeah, I was like,
that's the response. That's what we've always been. You know, we've always done that.
Yeah, it's like, why are we doing it this way? It's like, you shouldn't.
It's the definition of insanity.
No, there's a better way to do this.
Continue to do the same things over and over again, expecting different results.
And I guess what I said all that to say is, the guy that was over me at the time, the guy that was over him, treated him that way. And then he was like, all right, but I get somebody under me. Now, he didn't verbally say this, but you can understand where his mindset was. Like, all right, this is how they do it. I'm gonna do it to the people under me too. It's like, bro, you don't have to do this.
It's a never ending cycle.
And it was another black guy too. I was like, bro, you don't have to talk to nobody like this. You don't have to do this. Like, bro, I see you, bro.
Get this money. They might not know that's not leadership.
It's poor leadership. Right. Poor leadership. So my point is, just because you went through it, don't mean you got to put the people under you through the same stuff, through that same trauma.
And it goes back to when I was talking about the training.
Yeah,
Freddie ran.
Yeah. Oh, we all did.
We all y'all.
No, he didn't. No, he didn't. Actually, he didn't. So I'm correct on this. You would know that our coach didn't make us run. What he would do is he would make us do drills. Because what he said was that's why kind of how he gets his philosophy. Because he was like,
Coach Man would make us run.
But Coach Mel would make us do drills. And his thing was, you don't just run for no reason in basketball.
Yeah.
So you're always conditioning. Doing something. No, you always doing something. So right. if we had the run, it was okay, we're gonna do ball handling drills.
We got a ball two. And we running full court doing
ball. Whatever. You know what I'm saying? It was you had to do something that was actually going to transfer over mm-hmm. into yeah. enhancing your abilities on the court.
Positive reinforcement.
Right? So you're getting a reprimand mm-hmm. for not meeting the expectation. Because you know you're getting a reprimand, but at the same time, but you're also yeah. improving in another area that's going to transition over. So it's like a win-win. Yep. That was his. As crazy as that man, I know he's still alive. As crazy that coach was, he knew what he was doing.
Well, that's
he is cool.
Eli doesn't like to do ball handling drills, and he's a really good ball handler, but he doesn't like to do ball handling drills. Mm-hmm. So that's what first thing out we do form shooting, and then next thing what's he doing? Yeah. Ball handling drills.
Yeah, ball handling drills.
And it's not a punishment. It's making him better. But he just loves to see Eli's face when he had to do ball handling drills. But now he's really good ball handler because of having to do that.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Listen, man, this was super dope. Like, I can't wait to get back to this spot where we can sit down. Go ahead, man.
Can I say one last thing before you close?
Yeah.
It's very important to mention that it's okay and there's no right way to do a lot of things.
Oh, yeah.
And I know because we were talking earlier and I heard Gerard was talking, like everybody's specific path is different mm-hmm. with raising children. All children are different. You could come from a non-cussing, non-whatever household you want. And, we have, like you said, when we say manage, like you said earlier, we're just here. We're just helping people along. You know, that's what we're just helping people along, and they're going to be their own people. Whatever values we have that we try to instill from our household, we try to get, but they're their own specific people. Yeah. So
I'm sorry. So let me be clear. First of all, my Uncle Darnell, with everything you're saying, I totally agree with it. But I was laughing because you mentioned coming from a cussing household. So I was thinking about our household. But then I was thinking the household we grew up in. But then I was thinking about how in my Aunt Belinda's household, boy, you couldn't say shut up. You know, it was no cussing in that household. Still isn't. But shut up was a cuss word. And in our household, shut up was an everyday word. Like,
shut up.
Shut up, nigga. The N-word. You know,
say shut up now.
And then on top of that, I was thinking about the one time that I remember my Uncle Fred telling his kids to shut up. So it was, anyway, that cursing. But I've heard parents, man, curse at their kids.
Yo.
Like they just regular people on the street.
That's another conversation.
Yeah, for another day. And I'm sorry.
I'm agreeing with you because the kids' relationship with cuss words, that's a whole nother conversation.
Yeah.
Because me and Gab, we have a specific rule. Even before we had kids, it was like, look, we're never going to use these words as derogatory
at
or
them.
Like
weapons.
If I stub my toe, I might say something. Now Wesley, he's the kid.
You should say Jesus. Saying Jesus.
Look, I'm being real. But Wesley, he's the kid that comes to you and say, Daddy, what son? Can I say what the hell? Wesley, you can only say it by yourself. You can't say it to somebody.
You know what?
There it is.
Yeah. So, and you got to know your kids, right?
Yeah, because Brandon, he would never. He's the rule.
Wesley, you just know Wesley's going to say it regardless.
He's going to say it because he's that kid. Right.
Daddy.
The lines here.
Charlie, come home. Terrell said booty. No, you probably said booty. You want to say Terrell said it. But you didn't want to say it anyway. Right. But yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, I appreciate y'all tuning in to the Gentleman's Guide podcast. Thank you to these gentlemen. This is not the last conversation we're going to have on fatherhood, on anything, music, sports, anything. We're going to really chop it up a number of times going after this. So really appreciate y'all coming out. Again, thank you, Darnell, for lending this beautiful setting, this studio.
Thank you for having me. And I have to say, my wife's album, Brittany Tom's Interlude. Out all streaming platforms. Out January this year.
The Interlude.
Yeah, Interlude is fire.
And Brittany Tom's The Interlude.
It's one of the best albums you'll listen to this year. Good plug. Yeah, for sure. Like, subscribe, comment, share, all that. Appreciate y'all.